Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. We have been in a study of the Revelation letters to the seven churches of Asia. This morning we're going to put that on hold and we'll get back to those in a couple of weeks. Because next week we have a gospel meeting. And the past few gospel meetings we have neglected on getting ready for that really in our sermon preparation and getting the congregation ready for those meetings. And so we want to try to do that this morning and get our minds right and get our minds ready for our gospel meeting next week with Brother Keith Mosier. And so our theme, our subject for the morning is, let's get ready, company's coming. We have an opportunity over the next week, over really the next 2 weeks, to reach out to the community and really make a difference in the San Angelo area. So what do we do when we know we have company coming? And we're going to look at a few things this morning and suggest these things for our gospel meeting and make some spiritual application as such. Number one, we're going to clear our schedules, aren't we? When we know we have people coming over, we're going to be sure that we've got time to spend with them. We clean our house, number two. We make sure everyone who is supposed to be there is invited, number three. Number four, we meet them at the door, we give them a warm welcome, and we make them feel at home while they're there. Number five, we offer them something to eat. And number six, we try to make sure they leave as a friend. So number one this morning, let's look at what do we do when we have company coming? Well, we clear our schedules. Have we done that? Friends, this gospel meeting has been on plan, it has been planned for quite some time now. When you got your plan of work at the beginning of the year, if you turned to that particular page, you saw that we had a gospel meeting in October. Now granted, we had the wrong dates in there because we got our wires crossed. But know that we had a gospel meeting planned in October. So hopefully we got ready for that and we had that in mind and we didn't try to schedule anything during that time. So we want to be sure that we've got our schedules cleared. So friends, if you don't have your schedules cleared for October 9 through 12, I beg of you, please do so. Make next week a great week. When we've got those guests coming to see us, we want to be sure that we don't have anything going on that's going to interfere with the short time that we have them here. And most of the time, we begin making plans for what we're going to do the moment we find out they're coming. We do whatever is necessary to see that we get to spend time with them. Now again, have we done that for our gospel meeting? Have we made sure that we have cleared our schedules? You see, the elders have seen fit to schedule the meetings we have each year for our benefit, for the benefit of the congregation and the community around. And in so doing, they are making the effort to feed us the Word of God. Now, friends, let me ask you this. Since they have made that effort, are you going to refuse that food by failing to clear your schedule so that you may be here? Notice 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 with me. You see it there on the screen. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Another translation has that there, "Be thou an example to the believers." Either way, friends, it works. We can be an example of the believers in that those that are outside the Lord's church can see what a believer ought to be. And being where he ought to be, and having that foremost in his mind to go and to worship and to learn of God. Or if the translation were to stand, be an example to the believers. Friends, look around you this morning. By being here for the gospel meeting, by being here any time that we're having a study of God's Word, friends, we can be an example to one another. We can lift one another up. And we can help one another be more faithful. We can help one another be stronger. And we can teach one another in that. So friends, let's be an example. We have to ask ourselves that question. If we would be the proper example of Christian men and women if we chose not to be there. Let us strive to be the proper example to our spouses. Let us strive to be the proper example to our children. Let us strive to be the proper example to our friends, to our co-workers, and our neighbors by being here next week. And friends, let me say this. I know that several here this morning have children. And I know that it seems that they have a lot of schoolwork, friends. But let me say this. A child's homework is not an excuse for not being at church services. When we stay home to help a child get his or her homework done, rather than going to assemble with the saints, whether it's a Sunday night, whether it's a Wednesday night, or whether it's a gospel meeting, friends, what message are we sending that child? We're telling that child the secular stuff is more important than spiritual stuff. What could be more important than hearing the Word of God preached? And that goes for anything. We have family coming in that aren't members of the Lord's church, and so we stay at home rather than ask them to go to services with us. Well, you know, that's the only night they're going to be here, and I want to spend time with them. Friends, do you realize that may be the only opportunity you have to teach them the gospel? Why not ask them to come with you? And if they don't, set the proper example by being where you ought to be. Number two, what do we do when we know we have company coming? Of course, this goes along with our clearing our schedules. We have a gospel meeting on Sunday. We've got one on Monday. We've got it on Monday night at 7, Tuesday night at 7, Wednesday night at 7. Friends, where are you going to be? What do? We clean our houses. We clean up our house. When we know that company is coming, friends, we do everything we can to be sure that everything is in order, that our house is clean. To get ready for company next week, we need to be sure that our souls are clean. We need to repent of any sin we may have in our lives before we invite someone else to come and get right with God. Notice with me Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Matthew 7 and verse 1. Beginning there in verse 1, we read, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Friends, what message do we send to our friends, to our neighbors? What message do we send, period, when we have sin in our own lives? Especially when they know it. And we ask them to come to church. Ask them to come to worship with us. Ask them to come and hear God's Word. Friends, let's first make sure that we are right with God. Let's first make sure that we are clear of sin in our lives, that we take those things to God. Friends, we should not give anyone any reason whatsoever not to come and hear the Word of God preached, let alone sin in our own lives. Let's be sure that we clean house. Let's be sure that our own lives are right with God. What else do? When we know that company's coming, friends, we make sure that everyone who is supposed to be there is invited. You know, sometimes it may be that the company that is coming is someone that hasn't been around for a while. Maybe someone we haven't seen since high school. Maybe it's a family member we haven't seen in a few years, and several of the family hasn't seen them in quite a while. So we want to invite all their family, and we want to invite all their friends over so that they can get reacquainted with that person. Now, friends, here's where personal evangelism comes into play. Now, it may be as simple as just asking someone if they'll come and be with us. It may be that we need to ask them to do something afterward, like go out to eat, like come and eat with us before we go
to worship. It may be that we just ask them out for coffee or dessert as we'll be eating after services each night, which is something else that we may invite them for. Let's try to be like Andrew. We look and we see that Andrew was constantly bringing people to Christ. All the time we read of Andrew. We read of Andrew this morning in our scripture reading. Andrew bringing the Gentile strangers to Christ. Andrew who brought the Peter to Christ, his own brother, John 1:37-42. It was Andrew who brought the lad with the five loaves and the two fishes in John 6:5-9. It was Andrew again who brought the Gentile strangers to Christ in John 12:20-22. Let's try to be like Andrew. Nearly every time we read of Andrew in the Scripture, what was he doing? He was bringing somebody to Jesus. Friends, we ought to strive to be an Andrew for Christ. Friends, how do we talk to people about the church? How do we do that? Well, friends, if we're going to speak to someone about the church, number one, we need to speak intelligently. We have got to know what we're talking about. And friends, if we don't know the Word of God, we're not going to know. So friends, we need to study. We know in 1 Timothy chapter 4:15-16 and chapter 2 and verse 15, what do we read? Friends, that study is important. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Friends, have we studied the Word of God? Psalm 119 and verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 that we are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. And we'll get to that verse a little bit later too. But friends, we are to speak intelligently. We've got to know the word. And we need to know about the Lord's church if we're going to speak to someone else about it. We need to speak intelligently and knowing that what it says. We need to speak with sense about us. Colossians 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. In other words, don't speak before you think. Think about what you're saying, how you're saying it. Because, friends, the last thing we want to do is turn somebody off to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if we're going to speak intelligently, we must study. We must speak with some sense. We must speak sometimes with self-restraint. Ephesians 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And, friends, speak with simplicity. Mark 12 and verse 37. Friends, the gospel is simple. Paul said as much in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He didn't go to them speaking with the wisdom of the words of the wisdom of man, but rather he came speaking the simple, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Speak about the Lord's church. Speak about God's word in simplicity. Then number two, if we're going to speak about the church, we need to talk to them intuitively. Friends, understanding the prospect, whoever you're studying with, or whoever you're talking to about the Lord's church, understanding their background is going to shed a little bit of light on our understanding of what they say and help us answer or head off arguments or difficulties. In Acts 23 and verse 6, it says that Paul perceived that part of his accusers were of the Pharisees and part were of Sadducees. He was able to tell that by some of the things they said. Pay attention to what they're saying. Pay attention to what they're trying to tell you and with their words, and you'll be able to study with them a little bit more efficiently, a little bit better. But also speak inquisitively. Ask questions. Answer questions with questions. That causes one to think about and often answer their own questions. Oftentimes when people would ask Jesus a question, how did he respond? Well, the question.
And oftentimes, what would they do? They would figure it out themselves. They would answer their own question. Jesus practiced that principle in Matthew 21, 23 through 27. We read there, and when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" Notice how Jesus answered. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one question, which, if ye tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John. Whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say from men, we fear the multitude, for all hold John as a prophet." And they answered Jesus and said, "We know not." He also said unto them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." They knew the answer. They answered it for themselves. Jesus again practiced the principle in Matthew 22, 15 through 22, concerning giving tribute to Caesar. He asked whose inscription is upon the coin. And then said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Render unto God what is God's." But friends, not only do we need to speak intuitively, not only do we need to speak inquisitively, but we need to speak also inclusively. This is a discussion taking place, a dialogue. A discussion to explore a subject and or resolve a problem. Friends, at all costs, make sure dialogue is taking place. And friends, this means the conversation goes in both directions. If you're not willing to hear them, are they going to be willing to hear you? If you're not willing to listen, are they going to be willing to listen? And friends, emphasize the common ground. Find out what you have in common. Start right there. Paul did that, didn't he? Emphasize the common ground. What did Paul say concerning saving souls? "Became all things to all men that I might by all means save some." What's that mean? Friends, it means he found the common ground. But speak insistently as well. Proverbs 23 and verse 23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." What does that mean? Buy the truth and sell it not. Friends, when you got the truth, don't you ever turn loose. Don't turn loose and don't quit. Don't give up. But friends, if we give up, friends, there may be someone that's not going to hear the gospel that could have only heard it from our lips. Buy the truth and sell it not. Friends, we are not at liberty to change the truth to accommodate others either. Numbers 22, Balaam and Barak, we read there of Balaam wanting to curse the children of Israel. But Balaam said he could only speak the words of the Lord to Balak's request. Friends, that ought to be us. Peter tells us as much, doesn't he? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Friends, if we are going to speak concerning God's Word, we need to speak concerning God's Word. We need to speak God's Word, period. Nothing more, nothing less. John chapter 6, we read there the hard sayings of the Lord. Many of Jesus' disciples left, and yet He spoke the truth. He wasn't there for a popularity contest. Friends, we're not to be concerned with who's right. It doesn't matter who's right, but with what's right. What is right? Friends, the Bible is right. So when we know what is right, the who's right is going to take care of itself. Now you may agree to further study and resume discussions later with someone, but friends, let me make this point that I think too many of our brethren are doing in this day and age. Too many of us that claim to be Christians are saying, "Well, we'll just have to agree to disagree." Friends, never, ever, ever, if you're going to study with someone concerning God, if you're going to study with someone concerning the Lord's church, never agree to disagree. Because when you do that, you give up the foundation of the truth.
Never agree to disagree. Agree to further study, agreeing to resume discussions later, but never agree to disagree. You're damaging your cause. The friends, the reason that we are not converting many isn't because so few are willing to listen. It's because so few Christians are willing to speak. We've got to speak out concerning God's Word. What do we do when we have company coming and we know they're on their way? Friends, we meet them at the door. We give them a warm welcome and we make them feel at home while they're there. You know, it's been said concerning the Lord's church that the church is a family expecting guests. We should be ready to show them intentional hospitality when they get there. While they're in our company, they need to feel comfortable, they need to feel valued. One way in which we can do this is to make sure that everyone that comes through those doors, next week, every time the doors are open, anyone that comes through those doors needs to be greeted and welcomed. Another way is to make sure they know where everything is, such as the restrooms, the classrooms if they have children. And one more thing, it may be that we need to show them to a seat. Now friends, along those lines, we need to remember, especially next week during our gospel meeting, I guarantee you that if you turn and look right now, your names aren't written on those pews. If someone comes in and they're sitting where you normally sit, please don't make a fuss. Please don't ask them to go sit somewhere else. Let them have the seat. They're our guests. Make them feel welcome. Show them to a seat, maybe, if they're looking for one. Because sometimes people are apprehensive about that. They don't want to take anybody's seat. You may show them to your seat. Friends, one, we must do everything within our power to see that they are well taken care of. By doing these things, we make a return visit more likely, as well as the possibility of a Bible study. Now friends, let me make it clear. Every visitor that walks through the door ought to be treated as the man with fine clothing. In James 2:2-3. Every visitor should be treated as if they were the most important person there. Let's be sure that we do that. Friends, also, while I'm on this, let's be sure that if we invite someone to come and visit with us, whether it's next week during our gospel meeting or whether it's for a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, if we're going to invite someone to be here, let's be sure that we're here. Let's be sure that we're here to greet them because they're going to be looking for a familiar face. But friends, what else do? We offer them something to eat, don't we? Oftentimes when we have visitors, we have someone that we're expecting, we have a meal prepared for them. We want them to be fed. We want them to feel welcome. Brother Mosier is going to be preaching the truth. But friends, we can follow up with offers to answer any questions or set up Bible studies. He's going to be doing that. We're going to be able to share a spiritual feast during our meeting. It may be that visitors have questions about what was preached or other biblical questions, and we need to be available to study with them. Each one of us can make that offer and take the time to help. Again, notice 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Friends, how often, how long are we to be ready to answer folks' questions concerning God's Word? Always. When people ask us why we believe what we believe, why we teach what we teach, why we do what we do, friends, we need to be ready to give an answer. We've got to be ready. Something else we should consider, is feeding our visitors physically. We're going to have a finger foods fellowship meal every night of the meeting afterwards.
So why not invite our neighbors and friends to come and eat with us and see how a faithful congregation of the Lord's church fellowships with one another? And let's be sure to bring extra so that we'll have enough for our guests. And then finally, what do we do when we have guests coming and they're getting ready to leave? Friends, we make sure that they leave as a friend. We do that by doing all of the above. We can make sure that they leave with a good, if not great, impression of the Lord's church. And by doing that, we can evangelize our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our acquaintances. We build bridges that will allow us to study with folks down the road. You see, groundwork is being laid for them to return for our next big event, or even the next Sunday. If we neglect our guests, friends, they may never return, and our chance of winning them is gone. Let's be sure that they leave as a friend. Friends, let's get ready. Let's start right now. Let's start today. Let's get ready, friends, because company is coming. Let's be sure that our schedules are clear and that we're able to be here next week so that we may be the proper examples of those around us. Let's be sure that we have our own lives in order. Let's be sure that we invite everyone we can. Let's be sure that every guest that comes through the doors are greeted. They're welcome. They're made to feel comfortable. Let's be sure we offer them something to eat spiritually, and offering to answer spiritual questions, and physically as well with our fellowship meals. And friends, let's be sure our guests leave as friends and desiring to be with us again. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books, be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, are you part of the Lord's family? Do you belong to God? Are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why not? Why not? Why not this morning obey His gospel? Do you believe in who He is? Do you have faith? John 3 verse 16 tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But friends, you see, the Bible doesn't end at John 3 and verse 16. Not only must we believe, but friends, we must repent. Jesus Himself said in Luke 13 and verse 3 that we must repent. In Matthew 10 and verse 32, friends, we read that we are to confess. We are to confess Him before men so that He might confess us before the Father in heaven. We read in Romans 10, 9 and 10 that confession is to be made with the mouth unto salvation. Then, friends, not only must we believe, not only must we repent, not only must we confess, but we must be baptized. Would you be immersed in water this morning for the remission of your sins? For it is through baptism that we come in contact with His blood. Friends, without blood there is no remission. You can't come in contact with His blood any other way than baptism. If you find yourself here this morning and not a member of the Lord's church, not a member of His family, would you become one this morning? Are you here this morning having done those things? Have you fallen away? Friends, would you prepare yourself right now for the judgment? Because if we meet our God unprepared, friends, there's nothing waiting for us but condemnation. Would you make things right? If you have a need, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?